You're back Eastside and you're listening to Artifacts, the feature interview component of my shows here at Eastside on Arts Monday. I'm Jane Raffin and my guest today is the artist Texter Queen, who has joined me to talk about their work. And in this interview, we'll be looking at the new series of self-portraits currently on show at Sullivan & Strumpf in Zetland. Now, Texter, the show's intro describes your self-portraits as an exploration of the personal evolution of identity, incorporating graphic elements into largely fictional metaphorical inner narratives. Now, I particularly like the idea of identity being a process. I suppose we all identify with different sets of things as we go through life that, along with experiences, shapes our outlook and therefore our idea of who we are. The idea of fictional inner narratives is fascinating, and I love that through the show. And I'd like to look at this in more depth with you now as we talk about the works in the show. Firstly, a couple of the works, Family Tree and Subcultural Charms, have already been acquired by a public institution, namely the University of Queensland Art Museum, so congratulations
Thank
on that.
Thank you, very happy.
And now let's take a look at these. Firstly, Family Tree depicts you touching your belly with one hand and with the other holding an elephant's trunk under a torrent of what is assumed to be coconut milk, which flows like a waterfall from a palm tree that centres the composition. And in the torrent, there are lots of what appear to be miniature selves. The imagery, to me, is of a seminal life force and is very vivid. And I see this work referencing also, obviously, as you put it in inverted commas before in the first interview, cultural heritage and ethnicity. Is that the case? And is there a fictional element, apart from the fact that you weren't born there?
Yeah, the little selves are actually, well, they do, they're you know, representing, this portrait was about me pondering what it is to have a cultural heritage. Mm. What is my cultural heritage? What does cultural heritage mean?
Yeah.
So the little selves are, and I was like, how do I, you know, represent my ancestors and connecting with them? And the little selves are like actually Chico lollies,
okay.
Chico babies. Because I was
I don't eat sweets, so I didn't get that.
Yeah, they're like a little sweet from my childhood that I think are still around that are like a major lolly company makes that are little jelly babies, but they're all brown and the packet has like a dark-skinned baby on it with blue eyes in it. It's a little problematic, but
that's a lot problematic.
You know, it's like one of the few images of like one of the few things in my life that around of like
that. Where you had a person of color, something of color in
that was a lolly. Mm. It's really weird.
But I
was, you know, thinking about in this portrait how it is when you're, you know, I'm a second generation migrant. My parents migrated here before I was born, and you know, like what does cultural heritage mean to me than that when I've been raised in such a different environment than them and. Connecting back with that, and sort of the part of that's talking to your family, and part of that, you know, you're Google searching your cultural heritage, and that in itself reminds you of what that removal and that and how colonization has affected your cultural heritage when you're looking at these pictures of where your parents are from and they're taken by white men, with you know, it's like a tourist blog of people visiting there, and like that in itself is a traumatic experience of connecting back where people who have more privilege than you have more access in some ways to representing your cultural heritage than and connecting with than you do. And so, you know, it did become this quite fictional portrait where the Chico babies are representing, you know, my ancestors and the elephant I'm holding hands with, and you know, it's all supposed to represent like generational memory, and like I'm still connected and I still remember in myself and I'm still connected to what my, you know, ancestors are. But
beautifully drawn to the elephant. It's absolutely captivating. In Cultural Charms, your self-portrait shows you full profile with half-shaven head and adorned with piercings that are laden with charms. The charms include a wedding cake, a dollar sign, a family portrait, a crucifix, a baby's rattle, a map of Australia with a map of India at its heart or at its centre, and a child's alphabet block. I love the play on words in the title and the cynicism. Tell us about this work.
Yeah, this is my like gothic ethnic picture.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's like, you know, there was like a little comment there towards like, you know, subcultural appropriation of, you know, the this chain from the nose to the ear, that, you know, where that comes from, and then all the charms within it, like a charm bracelet, but there are like things that have influenced, formed parts of my life, like the, you know, being gendered as a girl. The rattle says it's a girl, so it's like from birth what that means, being gendered, and, you know, a portrait, a pixie photo from taken out the supermarket that I made into a, drew as a charm of my family growing up, and yeah, the building block, and, you know, as like language, yeah, you know, my only exactly. language is English.
English being a colonizing force, obviously.
Yeah. Though my parents are, you know, yeah.
They speak it anyway.
Yeah. And the wedding cake, like heteronormativity, and yeah, and being an, you know, an Australian-born Indian, as I got quoted in the paper, which sounds really strange to me, but the map of Australia with India in it, and that you're neither, the India's cut out of Australia, but then also it's not the whole Australia, and yeah, the crucifix, like my parents are Catholic, and what a big force in my life that being Catholic is, though it's also a privilege in that it's the normal.
Yeah,
being Christian
we'll talk
is
about
a
some of the
normal,
other works in the next interview that have those very strong influences, and it's so in your face, that work. I love it, literally.
Yes.
Yeah. Two of my favorite portraits, aside from those two, are Colonized Desire, The Texter Queen, Animal Within.
Oh no, there's no Texter Queen in the title. It's just The Animal Within.
Oh, okay. I beg your pardon.
That's right.
And Call of the Krakosha. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but in the first interview we talked about the colonial experience for people of colour being apocalyptic. Now, Colonized Desire, for me, delves more into the surreal, and I should point out that the animal in this work is the Muppet character Animal, who is for those who possibly don't know, a crazed percussionist with three styles of music, loud, louder and deafening, and who speaks in, you know, a guttural shout, often repeating simple phrases such as beat drums and woman. And now in this work, Animal is the puppeteer, and you, the puppet, seen in a white wig and girl's dress and holding what looks to be a Ken doll in a wedding suit. For me, this critiques the assimilatory nature of socialization in white society and also its patriarchal and heterosexual hegemonies. But tell me more about the Animal character. For example, I know you once aspired to be a guest on Sesame Street. What's going on there with Animal?
Yeah, the Muppets and Sesame Street were like, you know, a really big influence and saving thing in my childhood, especially Sesame Street being like the only show on television where like people of color were like happy and accepted and centered often too. And I watched it all the time and not understanding racial difference and that, you know, most of the kids on there were not of my specific ethnicity, but it was like kids that looked like me on television.
Brown,
so it was a really saving thing in my life where every day at school I was like racially taunted. And then but every morning I had this thing. So, you know, it's an emotional thing. Anything to do with the Muppets, Sesame Street is, even though, you know,
whatever. Totally get that.
But, you know, an animal, is representing things connected to what you were talking about. Or, you know, he's, you know, seen as this like primitive, quote unquote primitive, man. Animal, and you know, also the portrait's trying to play on that of being like, you know, being expected to having that expectation of. You know, in the portrait, I'm wearing a blonde wig and blue eyes, and that was all what was around held up as the like most beautiful thing. But and then I'm, the
primitive. And Animal's a complete crazed extrovert too, isn't he? So he's allowed
it's like,
to indulge in his own emotional state.
And so, you know, I am easily perceived as being, you know, angry and, you know, I don't know, that I'm having trouble talking about that portrait because
it's very powerful. It is
very personal, creepy, and overwhelming.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful
to have made, as well as just enough for me even to look at now. But it does represent a lot of things about perceptions and expectations and yeah, socialization.
No, it's great. Okay, well, we'll talk about the next one, Call of the Crocotta, which I think is eerie. You were talking about that, giving you getting chills doing that work. But for me, it was wonderfully eerie and highly accomplished. And I understand, I didn't know much about the Crocotta, but I do love, you know, mystical animals. And so I looked it up, and it's a mystical Indo-African beast, I think, on record in the West since Roman times. So a long history of depicting this animal. Now, you've depicted yourself as half Crocotta, or perhaps in transition, and flanked by snarling beasts either side. Now, I think it's safe to assume this one falls into fictional, metaphorical, inner narrative category. Tell us more about the Crocotta for you and its symbolism in this portrait.
Yeah, I wanted to reclaim that mythology. I mean, a few friends had like said that I reminded them of a hyena in heaps of ways because of my laugh and various, and you know, hyenas, the Crocotta is based partly on the hyena. And the mythology around it, so they can change between male and female, and you know, I have a very, what I feel is a fluid gender identity, and
they're also quite cunning, aren't they? I mean, they simulate human speech, so they can call people out and eat them.
And yes, and I'm carrying some men's bones in my arms. Bones.
Okay.
Well, that's just a joke, but yeah, they're carrying some bones, but I'm just like, they're probably some man's bones. And yeah, well, I'm like, half my face is like it is and half is as the Crocotta.
And the female, I understand, is seldom caught, this beast.
Yeah, so. And the mythology is also that the female can give birth without a male, and they incidentally have like external genitalia.
It's fascinating. I know. I love
a matriarchal.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, you know, they can, when its shadow falls on dogs, and you think about what a dog is broadly, they're struck dumb. I love that. Yeah, and the magic arts. You know, it's really cool. Yeah.
And it's empowering to like reclaim mythology that you didn't even know existed, you know, like where it's like, oh, a friend's like, oh, you remind me of a hyena, and I'm like looking up the mythology around hyenas and then finding out about the Crocotta and being like, oh, well, it's Indian mythology, you know,
it's often adopted as an alternative to mainstream religion too, having associations with other forms of beliefs. And we'll talk about some of the works in the next interview that do tackle some of the more mainstream religious things. Texter, we're going to cut to another music break now. Listeners, if you've just found us here on 89.7 FM, this is Eastside Radio. I'm Jane Raffin, and you've been part of the Artifacts Conversation, and that's the feature interview component of my Arts Monday show here at Eastside. My guest today is the artist Texter Queen, and we've been talking about their practice. And we'll have a music break now and back to talk more with Texter about the current show of self-portraits at Sullivan & Strumpf in Zetland very soon. Stay tuned. This is Arts Monday, 89.7 FM.